you like for opportunities which have what you got in some year. Is being able to meet with precious Takeo, many members in this church, we know precious Takeo, with John Takeo as a couple, and their daughter Archie, they moved to plant a church in Nakuru. Then you remember during COVID, we lost our dear brother, Pastor John Kale, and then some time after that, Precious and Archie relocated to Zambia. And so it was a joy to meet them. They're doing well there. They are sincere and living, and we love to visit us again. Of course, Archie would have loved to come back with us in this retreat. But someday, God willing, that's possible. Okay, dear friends, a number of you, I trust you all know that I've been preaching through the gospel, the continuing mark of the apostles, so the Acts of the Apostles, Acts of the Apostles. And we started chapter 1, verse 1, and moving through. And the last time that I preached on this before our journey to Lusaka was chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Now, today I want to bring God's word, preaching from verses 8 to 15. So, Acts chapter 6. I am going to read from verse 1, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. I will read 15 verses of this chapter, and then we look at verses 8 to 15. Let me read. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, accompanied by the Hellenists, arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the twelve apostles, summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, or brethren, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, holy of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they did pleased the whole gathering. And they chose, Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. They said before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and the great many of the priests became obedient to the faith of Christ. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the power with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who say, "We have heard him speak blasphemy or blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. They set up false witnesses who say, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. That's the reading of God's word. What do these things mean? Let me give you a helpful introduction to what I want us to see. Where we are, in other words, these verses, particularly verses 8 to 15, these verses are like a hinge, a door hinge. May not appear to do so much because basically the door just comes like this. But the door can only come like this on the hinge. So, door hinges are very important. But their work may not be quantified, as such, but very important. It's a cup of quality, if we may put it that way. So far, what we have seen in the book of Acts from chapter 1 all the way to really the end of chapter 5, we have been seeing Peter, the apostle Peter. He's very prominent. Even when he's with John, he's the one being mentioned. Even when they are together, he's the one who is talking. So, from the beginning to now, Peter has been prominent. However, when we will be moving to chapter 7 after chapter 6, from chapter 7, we will be meeting another person whose prominence then begins slowly and spreads like wildfire. And that person will be Paul, the Apostle Paul. So, Peter began, or was prominent, chapter 1, all the way to chapter 5, beginning of chapter 6. But then, Paul will now be the one in the limelight. Of course, Peter will be mentioned, but for the times, Paul is there. So, when we read in our Bible, it's not our own. Let's be observant. Let's be people who study the Bible with understanding. Okay? But between these two people, there is the door hinge. And the door hinge, if you like, is Stephen. Stephen stands between them. Of course, Peter, by and large, actually so far, has been speaking to the Jewish people. But then when Paul will be coming into the scene, Paul will be speaking majorly to the Gentiles. But this season that God uses to get the church from Jerusalem and God pushes them out to the Gentile lands. It is Stephen. It is what God does with Stephen. It's a man of great impact. However, what we read about Stephen is basically chapter 6, chapter 7. After that, we will not hear much of him. You see, a person's impact in life and ministry actually is not measured by how many years they have lived by. They are, of course, those who labor for so many years. I know the pastor, we worked with him for many years before we came to Everett. He has labored on his labor in Kenya here for over 40 years before then retiring and going back to the UK. While others appear in the scene, serve for a short time, and the Lord is pleased to end their ministry. And you know of one like that. I've made reference to the late Pastor Emmanuel in Kigali, Rwanda. The man served as a pastor for less than 5 years, less than 4 years, around 3 years. A man of the Lord calling home, but what he did within the 3 years stunned the rest of us. The Lord just calling home like that. Ah, friends, it is not how many years someone spends, but the quality of their ministry and life. Stephen was a man of quality. Stephen was a man most loved. People valued him. How do we know that? Well, you know, even though the chapter to Some men, verses 8 to 15, we see Stephen already in the earlier verses, and specifically when the seven, who we ordinarily call the first deacons, when the seven deacons were chosen, who was the first? But Stephen, of the thousands of people, of believers, many of them. Thousands of them young believers in Jerusalem. The first person listed here was Stephen. So that's how important he was. Well, one of the things I want us to see is the fact that those who seek to live godly, those who seek to trust God and obey God, will not necessarily have a smooth, trouble-free life. As the wrong teaching, come to Jesus and all your problems will go. No! You come to Jesus and so many truly experience that you come to the Lord, you get saved. Challenges are there. Sufferings are there for the sake of Christ. So, Stephen, in this passage, verses 8 to 15, Stephen is being falsely accused. They bring false accusations against this man that he has blasphemed. To blaspheme is to talk bad about God, to not only make yourself equal with God, but you therefore ridicule God. You bring bumps in your leg, as it were. You don't respect God. And so you blaspheme. That's the huge charge they have against this person. What I want us to do is
to appreciate this person.
Let's look at his character. His character. Well, how was his character? And then secondly, we look at his courage.
He was a man of courage.
And then thirdly, we will look at his countenance. Another preacher has used all the sea on the three sides. Let me borrow it. But countenance may not make sense, so countenance simply means faith. My countenance, my faith. Okay. And we are going to look at Stephen's face. You may wonder, look at someone's face. What gospel is there? But details we will see that together.
Well, so let's quickly, within the moments we have, look at this man who has been accused of blaspheming God. Who was he?
Well, as to his character, verse 8. Look with me then at Acts chapter 6, verse 8.
And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people.
So that part introduces us as to something about his character.
But you see, Julian in his dilemma, already he had met him.
He had met him in chapter, but in verse 5,
when men were being chosen to lead, to make sure that provision is distributed fairly, equally according to people's needs. The first person we saw was Stephen. So what did we read about Stephen in verse 5?
This is what we read, verse 5.
And what they say pleased the Lord that has thousands of people. And they chose Stephen.
Listen to this, as to his character.
A man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit.
That's the man, the first man they chose.
Man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. In other words, here was a man who was controlled by faith, full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit worked in him. Faith explained more about him. We are told now in verse 8 that he is full of grace and power. This is the one we should all love to know more about. And honestly, that we should be like Stephen. Honestly, a man who everyone should admire, everyone should be like him, everyone should appreciate what he stands for.
When it is said that he was a man of faith, remember,
was the man who believed that God ruled everything. That was his conviction. And in fact, in chapter 7, God willing, next time, we will see that right from verse 1, chapter 7, verses 1, all the way to 51, Stephen is demonstrating.
That is the man of faith.
But also, he is showing us that God controls everything.
His life is in there. He actually believes that his life is in the very hands of God.
If we don't believe that, we will be different. Honestly, you look with me at Romans chapter 14, verse 8. For if we live to the law. And if we die to the law. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Now, if each one of us believes that,
we would be living differently, my friends. Thanking God that we are alive,
we will be suffering.
Thanking God that we are not ready if you should call me. And you know what? If I should die, I am ready. So, friends, someone has said, to be full of faith is to trust God. To be full of faith is to trust God. And to be filled of the Holy Spirit is to obey fully His will. To be filled of the Spirit is to obey fully His will. That's why, by the way, we are standing at Him, which in the chorus they say, trust and obey. There's no other way. You need not believe in Jesus, but to trust and obey. And so we thinking therefore more about this man. This man, we are told, was given grace. Was a man full of grace. That which we receive from God, which we don't deserve. But God gives because of His service. And so He was given much grace. Why? Actually, soon, we will see, soon, to face persecution and death itself. And He showed, Stephen showed so much grace, even at the point of his death. And that is proved by chapter 7. You look at verse 60. Chapter 7, verse 60. They are saying, "Oh, you're going to die." And basically, they have started stoning him because of his testimony. Verse 60. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In other words, he died. Wow. A man full of grace. Full of grace. And then he was full of power. What do you see? We see his power in the sense that the Lord allowed him to work out or perform mighty miracles. And in fact, it was not just like once. The way it is put here is that he was in the habit of being this. Look at our face again. And still, full of grace and of power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. A man to be admired. Oh, you will be like. There we are. That's his character. Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of power, full of grace. Doing mighty things. But more, they're going to see. Next, we are seeing actually he was a man of great courage. Great courage. Being able to move on in the face of opposition. Well, there in verses 9 to 14, I read, then some of those who belong to the synagogue of freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with him. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Wow. So what did they do, brethren? Then they secretly intimidated men who say, "We have heard him speak blasphemy or blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they scattered up the people and the elders and the scribes. They came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. They set up false witnesses who say, this man never ceases to speak words against people in faith and the Lord. For we have heard him say, let this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. Wow. There we see, of course, he's accused falsely, but we see his courage. Actually, the method of the enemy, when an enemy comes, the method of the enemy is to usually take some dual message, you know, but to try to cut in and destroy the message by just what? Discrediting the messenger. By discrediting the preacher. And this is what they're doing. Wanataka kuonyesha ya kwamba, hata hiyo injili sio ya kweli. Or the city win. I mean, what is he? He has to say anything to offer. So they do have charges. We level those charges against him, as we have seen in verse 11. They even ask these people from this synagogue, and in Jerusalem there were apparently quite a number of synagogues. They were Jewish people met, and each synagogue seems to have had people, we may say, people of a certain community or ethnic group. But now, when the day of Pentecost came, and Stephen and others, the Lord says them, and Stephen said to the mighty use of the Lord in these synagogues, he may have been going around and speaking and defending the faith, proclaiming that this Jesus actually is the Christ. And he was doing it so mightily. Remember, he's not a nobody. There's 5,000 plus people knew him, loved him, and say they want him to be one of the deacons. But then, apart from his work, which was called to serve people, he couldn't be silent. He was telling people about Christ, pointing people to Christ, urging people to turn away from the world's religious ceremony and to look to the One. And Lord Tihari, finally, Ametimiza, all that the Old Testament talked about, and nani? Yes, the Christian. Stephen did that in such an amazing way. Now in it was so many rich men from this other synagogue. Why did they go? The end of our time tells us they rose up and defeated the Stephen, but then tells us they could not begin in this debate, you know, this dispute, it's not that something was wrong. They would usually interrupt, you know. Who is this? Who is the Messiah? The Old Testament told us that the Messiah would come and be a holy place. Then he would come and show that who was promised is Christ. Alleluia! Amekufa, amekufa, ndio yule anayeenda na akatuma Roho Mtakatifu on the day of Pentecost. You believe in him, and it was using the Old Testament. And they could not. However, Shida was tempted. They could not withstand him. Well, friends, what happened? They had just asked to silence this person. What did they do then? They muscled all the authority, the powers of the authority. There, the scribes, the elders, leaders of the people. Verse 12. They are seeking to suppress
the truth. And how are they doing it? By their wickedness. And that reminds us of that verse in the book of Acts, chapter 1, Acts 1, verse 18. Acts 1, 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness or their wickedness, they suppress the truth. In other words, when are you aware? Like in one Italia, they don't want it to go up and to change people's lives. That's what they're doing here. And so, what do? They just choose to raise false accusations. The middle of verse 11 tells us that one of the accusations they are raising against him is, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. Well, what he said about Moses, that means the books that Moses wrote, the first five books of the Bible, held as very secret, very high among the Jewish people. And so, Magdalene asked them, Genesis all the way to Deuteronomy, they say, Moses, or the books of Moses. And so, these people are saying, yeah, he's talking bad about Moses and the laws that he gave us, written in those first five books. He's also talking ill about God. And that simply means, in the chapter, they were worshipping God. So, for anyone to say someone is against the temple and against the worship in the temple is to say that they are against such people, are against God. You know what? They did that to the Lord Jesus. And now, as a follower of Jesus, these things are happening to this man. Because Jesus was persecuted, and he suffered for the truth. Those who follow him, as we see here, also suffer for the truth. They Jesus has blasphemed. In the book of Mark chapter 14, we find that accusation leveled against the Lord Jesus. Mark 14, verse 56. I read Mark 14, 56. For many draw false witness against Jesus, but the testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, said, we heard this him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands. Oh, friends, they are just mixing up. And a tiny element of truth, when I'm here tuning, and it's not now a reality at all. Because what you need to know, we take it for granted, but what you need to know if you look at the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 19, where Jesus talked about that which now they are making up. John chapter 2, verse 19. Verse 18 begins by saying this. So you say to him, what sign do you show for us? Show us for doing these things, 19. Jesus answered them, destroy, listen to him, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Did you say to him, say, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was thinking about the temple of his own body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. So, of course, it is these people who are mixing up. They fail to understand Jesus, they therefore just mix him up. And that certainly, as you know, we do not do.
They are just making it seem to look like a violent man.
Because we are back to Acts chapter 6, in verse 13, verse 14.
They're portraying, like a picture that Stefano, he's a man ready to lead a rebellious group so that he can just overturn things. But that is not true.
Stephen, of course, preached and taught that Jesus having come, things are no longer going to be the same. It's not the same old worship in the temple.
Jesus now changes life. He's been worshiping in spirit and in truth.
We can say more.
Of course, accusing Stephen of being a man of violence,
no.
Stephen and the kind of weapon, if we may put it that way. He was not going to use the weapon, freshly. Weapon,
no.
True believer, desiring to see change in this world. Don't use rules and guns and such like things.
Oh,
because 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we read this, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to verse 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and set every thought captive to obey Christ. In fact, those who are blaming Stephen that he's a violent man, it's actually the Romans who, in AD 70, who are going to come to destroy their own temple. Well, friends, back therefore to Acts chapter 6, let's see the final point. So we'll see that Stephen was a man of character, full of grace and power. And also we'll see man full of the Holy Spirit, man of wisdom. So that was our first point, his character, then his courage, and then the third place, his face. His face. So, man's face, does a man's face tell us much? Well, we read that in verse 15, Acts chapter 6, verse 15. So, basically, what has happened is, from Anchita, they have brought him to the council, like the Supreme Court, and they have basically said, we have heard him say a lot of bad things about Moses and against God, claiming this Jesus will destroy this place. So, as he stood therefore in the council, in the Supreme Court, and he begins to defend himself, we have to wait till when I'm preaching from chapter 7, verses 1 and onwards. Please read it. It's just one chapter. Read it when you are at home and be familiar with it. But verse 15 is there. Something about divinity. This is what we read. And the council. And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Man with a face. That's like an angel. Okay. Now, you know, friends, what really we want to see is that Stephen was a man of integrity.
the man who you could look in the face, he would look you in the face, and he has no fear. You see, many people would be terrified when they face accusation. And maybe because somewhere along the line, you know you are guilty. You know something went wrong. In a home, the child has done wrong, and sometimes you even see the evidence of the wrong they have done. Maybe it's the cake which was kept for their birthday, the following day, or sugar, so the face is sugary, you know. And you look at them and say, now, who did that? And maybe it's just the only child in the home, and you say, who is the cake? Not me. It's the only child in the home, the evidence is on their face, and they try to say, not me. And then get ready. But me, if someone is innocent, then they are able to look at their accusers right in the face. Right in the face. Stephen is such a man. He was able to look at his accusers, and they looked at him. And the look on his face was perfect composure. He was composed. There was no fear in his eyes towards this man who, humanly speaking, had his life in their hand. Because they would say, we have let you, but you're going to die. Actually, that's what they say at the end. Utakufa, we're going to stone you. We can't hear that anymore. They will say. And yet, wakati wanamtazama, they look at him and say, wow, this man is innocent. I don't know how they would still at the end say, let's stone him to death. But clearly, when they look at his face, there was innocence, honesty, and he was brave. Why? Because the man himself certainly feared God. He feared God. So how was he able to face these people without any fear of death? I think there are three things in my study. Of course, people find one thing, but I thought, let me give you three things. One, Stephen expected opposition. Now, that may be strange, but really, he expected opposition. Stephen knew that those who live according to God's word, those who want to please God in their life will face opposition. Stephen knew that. And that's what we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 tells us that indeed all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He knew that, he believed that, and therefore lived his life as he drew a combat. Opposition can come any time, or will come any time. We better avoid all of that. Because I'm persuading those who want to say the man are here, please be saved. But I'm telling you, when you are saved, be prepared. Like Stephen, he expected opposition. Secondly, Stephen knew what he believed. He knew what he believed. He knew the scripture. And by the way, the book of Acts, all they had was the Old Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. The New Testament had not been written, by the way. He knew his Bible. He knew the Word of God. And he loved it, he trusted it. There was no need for him to retract. or to change his mind.
No! He did what we learned here some few weeks back. What should happen to every true believer? Kila wajawe do it tiyari. Ndiyo kiulizwa. Imani ambayo iko ndani yetu tuweze kueleza. We need to be ready. First Peter chapter 3 verse 15. First Peter 3 verse 15. But in your heart,
honor Christ the Lord as holy.
Always be prepared to make an amends to anyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that is in you. Yes, do it with gentleness and with respect. And Peter is this student is our great example. He is, and we will see that next time in chapter 7. He is giving his defense. Already he has given it to these people, and Akawashinda, they get angry and brought all manner of accusations against him. So, Amazing Mama Abu Bele across the Supreme Court, just the way he's talking to these people, he's a man who believes for all his arm and not ashamed of what he believes. And then thirdly, so we see that he expected opposition, he knew what he believed, but thirdly, he lived a holy life. He lived a holy life already, of course, up to Leona, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. All who seek to live godly life will be persecuted. He lived a godly life. And he lived a godly life before God. In all the world. Honestly, his conscience was right before all. They are thinking of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 2 we read this. But we have renounced this grace underhanded way. We refuse to practice cunning. Over to temper with the thoughts who are passed by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. So here is the person. He lived the prayer, the mirayake, he called Salamasa, Satibelea, Munka Satibelea. What? Do you know such a life? Is your conscience clear before all? That's what it means to be a believer. And Stephen was. That is why, friends, his enemies, by the way, his enemies, it is reported, they looked at his face. And he looked like the face, or it looked like the face of an angel. Wow! And this is the idea. Listening so that we show you what I can do. Now I'm saying, I'm not going to imagine coming in Malaysia. You know, in America, we would have expected them to say, hey. Maybe another time you may have a reason to be brought here. Like in that morning, you become a bamba. We have had that phrase used. But, so that is what we hear his judges saying about him. However, even though his face was having no point that was there is a lot of it. You know what? It did not stop them. It did not caution them. It did not frighten them from passing death sentence on this man. That is strange. A man who stood for the truth, full of the Holy Spirit, and of grace, and of wisdom, further. Judges,
Okay? And kama tunaona malaika ya Mungu.
And yet,
they should send him to death, as we're going to see in chapter 7. And what we learn from this? A few things. Maybe just two important things. One, in case the listener already have mentioned in past, one is this. God has not promised easy or pain-free life for believers. God has not promised easy or pain-free life for believers. I'm speaking as one of whom I'm yearning within me that many, if not all of you who are saved, will repent of your sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. Friends, we are not hiding our desire from you. We want you to be saved. There's nothing good like being saved. No completeness in life if you are not saved. But please, if you get saved, just know that God has not promised easy and trouble-free life. Vile watu nafikiria. Uje kwa Yesu na shida zote zitapotea. No, that's not true. Don't believe that. And please, let none of us here share our testimony with people around because we want them to be saved. No, I live. Yeah, uje kwa Yesu na shida zote zitapotea. You missed that. Your way is you. Oh, no. Let's be honest. And still it is a true example for us. A man who everyone in his enemies had a perfect word about him. But a man who then they turn around and accuse him of falsehood. And persistently accused him of falsehood, mpaka mwishowe anamuua. However, I'm not going to stop there. I'm saying God has both promised in view of pain-free life for believers. However, He assures us that when we speak in His name, His word will accomplish His will. If you become Christian, if you become saved, ushuhuda wako, your testimony, and even for those who preach, those who then are sent out as missionaries, God assures us that what we speak in His name, for His glory, to build His kingdom, that will be accomplished, or will be accomplished. Because His will cannot be thwarted. So let's be encouraged. Let's be people who think beyond our short-lived safety. Let's instead think more of the glory of God and His kingdom. Oh, friends, therefore, when we suffer in His name, you know what? His strength will be seen in our weakness. Every one of us, this is not just a preaching now for the three of us who preach, or the four of us who preach here. Every true believer, when we suffer for His name, His strength will be seen in our weakness. So I'm still persuading you, if you're not saved, please, repent of your sins and be saved. But God says, He does not promise to heal, but He promises to be with you as you witness to Him. Then, in the second place, we must be done. Let me just ask, How have you, certainly I'm asking all who are listening to me, but particularly those who are not saved, how have you reacted to God's word that we preach to you here, Sunday by Sunday? What is your reaction, dear friend? What is your reaction? And I'm asking that it's actually very much in line with what we are saying here, what I'm preaching here. Here was a man who was declaring that the man of Nazareth, Jesus, is none other than the only hope of the world, the fulfillment of what had been promised. Salvation is in Him alone. That's what he was declaring. And how was he received? We are reading from verses 8 to 15 how these people received, even though they heard of his ministry. They heard his preaching, his happiness, if we can put it that way. They heard it. What about you? You have heard the preaching of God's word, Sunday by Sunday. And those who come early also receive it in the Sunday school. And those who are willing to meet with us in the afternoon, you have been hearing it in the afternoon service. Friends, we have been bringing God's word to you faithfully. What is your response? What is your response? Honestly, for some of you, with all due respect, you come to church. Yes, you see, you sit on your seat, but you just say, switch off. You just switch off. So that you're right on your mobile phone, your smartphone, and the Lord knows what you're doing there, or you look at the preacher, no, you have switched off. That's how painful preaching can be. But you preach to the people, to some of them, it's like they look at you and it's like, I'm going to have to tell you something. Someone say, I'm not listening to anything. You switched off! For some, you just say, I hate this one. These preachers are joy killers. I want to be in a church where they let us jump on them and full strength become the weakest of them. I'm fresh. I clear the stress, jump on them. But here, I say, they feel our glory. Tell you the things that come, they have come. Therefore, what is the conclusion? My joy is gone when I come to this church. Does that describe you, dear friends? Does that describe you? Sorry, but for some, you simply hate us. Yeah, it's very different, but you hate us. Maybe coming because you maybe you're waiting for the membership, but the things going on in this church, no. You hate the preacher, you hate the Bible, you hate. It's just that the secret is that you. Now you may say, Pastor, hey, you're returned from Zambia, and you're just now talking so bad. No! And I'm doing it out of love. Use this in practice to make it relevant to us. A man who everyone, we may say, loved. That is now 5,000 plus people. He's number one. We want Stephen to be the one distributing. More than that, the Lord mightily used him to do all manner of miracles. His ability to defend God's word, no one could match. It made these guys so mad.
Wakaenda tu wakakujeni,
we want to just show that this man is so bad. Kama wewe unasema ya kwamba yeye mbaya sana, wewe unasema yeye.
For president, it was happening for persons who more their only aim was to stand firm for the gospel. When we stand firm for the gospel, we are no better than Stephen. But in what is now, I'm praying that you will truly repent and believe in the gospel that Stephen stood for, was accused of, and then he died for, place, time, and the norm this God. He is worth knowing, love this Jesus. He is worth loving and serving. Let's pray. Oh Lord, your word is real, it's good. Sadly, the enemies of the gospel can hear it and they can say, yeah, the man singing. Seems to be sent to God. But what he's saying, we can't have that. They destroy the spirit, humanistic. Oh God, I pray that what we have seen today from your word will cause each one to truly repent of sin and believe in the Lord Jesus, the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. The one who forgives us sins and fills us with everything good, the Holy Spirit and grace and power to perform good works in His name. Hear our prayer. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.